Angito zhenye zhonye dawadam jepan pechirwe ten peche ne ten zhapa kuten ten la cha zha Tungin je zhono jibwe lan chi je zhi che kache ten duke Chana bima je zhin je zhono suhan te zhon ta yue zhin ki lo ガサンゾ。え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、え、
Good morning. Yesterday we spoke about, we were looking at bodhicitta and we spoke about the how all sentient beings have been our mothers and the kindness of all sentient beings. And when we looked at the kindness of all sentient beings, we went through the sequence, starting with the mother of this life and expanding it slowly to our father, our other relatives, then to strangers, etc. So we looked at this in some detail yesterday and then spoke about how having done that meditation repeatedly, then one will give rise to the wish to repay the kindness of others. And then we also thereafter looked at the subsequent meditations, those of love and compassion. So that's what we looked at yesterday. And we spoke about how in order to bring about these minds successfully within oneself, it's imperative to train continuously in this. So one needs to cultivate a motivation in the morning, do these meditations, and do them repeatedly over a period of time. And then in addition, in the evening, when we come to reflect on the day, we should then dedicate this tremendous amount of merit that we have accumulated through doing these meditations, and then having engaged in activities with this motivation in mind. So all this tremendous amount of merit that we've accumulated, we should dedicate each evening to the attainment of full and complete enlightenment by all sentient beings. So we're going to look at compassion. Today we're going to be talking about compassion, special intention, and bodhicitta itself. Yesterday came up to the presentation on compassion, and we spoke about this, and we spoke about to generate compassion. The first step is to have meditated extensively on one's own experience of suffering, and then independence on this basis of having come to realize our own suffering experiences, we then apply that understanding to all sentient beings. All sentient beings who are suffering in the same ways that we are. And then using this as a basis, one will give rise to the mind of compassion. And this mind of compassion is the wish for all sentient beings to be freed from suffering. The texts, as we know, they present the suffering in three divisions: the suffering, the suffering of change, and the all-pervasive suffering of conditioning. So whilst the text presents suffering in these divisions, generally in the world, when we talk about how we are and we respond with our suffering experiences, we're only talking about the suffering of suffering. Oh, today I don't feel so well, or yesterday I wasn't well but I took some medicine and now I'm feeling fine. And so I've healed from suffering. So this is how we generally in the world talk about suffering. We only look at this one the one aspect of suffering, the suffering of suffering. So this understanding of the suffering of suffering is certainly nothing profound. It's something that all human beings understand, and in fact animals, they have an understanding of the suffering of suffering as well. The suffering of suffering, this is, as we've said, is something very easy to understand. And having an understanding or realization of this is not a big deal, as animals come to understand this as well. So the second division then, the suffering of change, then this is somewhat more hidden. So the suffering of change, in brief, is the happiness that we experience. So we do experience happiness. We maybe go out with our friends and we have a lovely day out and we're happy, our minds are relaxed and open, and we've had a wonderful day out and we've experienced happiness. Or we have dinner and we have a few drinks and we again be nice and relaxed and we're happy, we're having a good evening. So here we are happy. And to call this happiness is fine, that we are experiencing worldly happiness, but this is mere happiness. And in the context of the Dhamma presentation, this mere happiness is what we is called the suffering of change. So it's another word for this experience. So the happiness that we experience in life, this is a happy feeling. So this mental factor of feeling, it's a happy feeling. And this is what we mean by the suffering of change. So to have these experiences or this happiness is fine, but we should understand that this is just mere happiness. This isn't what we're striving for. And the reason that we call it mere happiness or the suffering of change is because it's not stable. It can change at any moment, and it will certainly change. And that change can come about very quickly. So this happiness is not our goal. The kind of happiness that we strive for and the kind of happiness that we talk about as in terms of a goal, this is a stable happiness, a lasting happiness, one that isn't subject to this a momentary change. Okay, no, I was just checking if I just remembered everything that I had. So then just lastly, again, I emphasized at the end that this kind of happiness is that suffering of change, it's not what we should be striving for. There is something much better than that, and that's what we should strive for, the stable, lasting happiness. This mere happiness that we experience, the suffering of change. So it's called suffering of change because this mere happiness only needs to meet a very small cause and it will immediately change. And that is how unstable it is. And this is something, when we think about it, we know from our own experience how a happy feeling, so a mind of happiness, can change very quickly on meeting just a small condition. So this is something we've seen for ourselves. And this is not our goal. This is not, as Dharma practitioners, the happiness that we are striving for. Rather, the happiness we are striving for is a happiness that is unchanging, that is stable, that continues and only grows and strengthens. It doesn't lessen, it doesn't cease. So that is the happiness that we are looking for. So therefore, what we are actually training to do is abandon this mere happiness and cultivate or develop a lasting happiness, or bring about the attainment, rather, of a lasting happiness. So we actually are seeking to abandon this mere happiness so as to attain a lasting happiness. And how to do this? Well, in brief, we need to practice the path. To generating the path in our continuum, we will cultivate, first generating a path in our continuum and then continuing to train in it, we will attain a state of lasting happiness. And that is the state of liberation from cyclic existence and the state of the full enlightenment of a Buddha. Those two states are the states of lasting happiness. And those are our goals. That is the kind of happiness that we strive for as Buddhists.
That is it.
Then you do not delay, Chava, do you do not have a calacare? That you do not say the Negi Dewadi, Namsantis, you are a cheat was, the Negi could that it test Deoina, and you are to a Yodi, must do test some dana, Hakotu Dua, Chesan Kalaras, and Washimushina, Nigatam Jilia, Divimatuache, Namsan, Duma Tata, and Chesa, Tejina Chibuche, that I do.刚才说的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们都是这样的,他们
the suffering of change, the suffering of change. And the now we come to the third type of suffering, the all-pervasive suffering of conditioning. So this is difficult to understand. The suffering of change is not something people generally talk about or think about. But hearing a presentation on it, it doesn't take much thought, and an understanding can come. Not a realization, but an understanding. We have experience of eating a delicious meal, getting a bit carried away and overeating, and then we are a bit uncomfortable. So that it's very easy to understand the suffering of change. But to understand the third type of suffering, the all-pervasive suffering of conditioning, this is much more difficult. So what this refers to is our contaminated aggregates. Our contaminated aggregates that have come about independent on contaminated karma and the afflictions. So this is what this all-pervasive suffering of conditioning refers to, these contaminated aggregates that have come about independent on contaminated karma and afflictions.
That deva, that yawa ida dunro da dene lada mi, that comes from kawa leda nyumu onge kawa le jewa ina ya, that he gave pumbo di meva yawa, that comes from kawa kaneske vena leda nyumu onge pumbo di pumbo di pumbo di chabdo yara, and the yellow chava di shale. And the duma you duma said down, jesu ya and ya yoma rala ya su da sume said the yellow.
Suffering of suffering, the suffering that we know so well, this is something that is experienced by beings in the desire realm, but is not experienced by beings in the form and formless realm. So therefore, the suffering of suffering doesn't pervade samsara, so because not all beings experience this. However, the third type of suffering, the all-pervasive suffering of conditioning, this does pervade all beings. So hence this term all-pervasive in the title. In the name of suffering. So whether beings are in the hell realms or in the preta realms or born as an animal, a human, a god, or in the form of formless realm, they are pervaded by the suffering of the all-pervasive suffering of conditioning. And why? Because they have contaminated aggregates. These contaminated aggregates have come about independent on contaminated karma and afflictions. So that's the explanation of the term all-pervasive in all-pervasive suffering of conditioning.
Jesus,
These aggregates we have, so remember the aggregates, they form and they're mental. So when you use the term aggregates, refers not just to form, but it refers to form aggregates, and the physical aggregates, rather, physical aggregates and mental aggregates. So these physical and mental aggregates, they change momentarily. So here in this context, why this is so important is that when we experience happiness, whether physical happiness or mental happiness, this is unstable, and in a moment it can change. And if we think about it, we know this is true from our own experience. We're physically well, and we're able to do things with ease, and then suddenly we're struck down with an illness, or we injure ourselves in an accident, and our situation changes completely, and we suddenly then have big problems. Likewise, with our mental state, we can be really happy, having a wonderful time, and then in dependence on a small condition, just a harsh look from a person or a harsh word, and our mental peace is gone. So this is the state of our aggregates. They change so very easily from happiness to suffering and back to a happier state again. And so why is it like this? And that is because our aggregates are not causeless. They've come about in dependence on causes. And these causes were accumulated by a mind that is by afflicted minds. So minds such as attachment and the like. These through actions generated by such minds, we accumulated the causes that led to the ripening result of our contaminated physical and mental aggregates. So because these causes are contaminated, in other words, the afflicted minds, the causes were accumulated by afflicted minds or afflictions, then the result that comes from that is not going to be a pure result, it's not going to be a good result, it's going to be a contaminated result. And therefore, as long as we have this result of these contaminated actions, in other words, as long as we have these contaminated physical and mental aggregates, we will continue to be experiencing suffering upon suffering upon suffering. Because even when we experience the suffering of change, so this mere happiness, this worldly happiness, this is unstable and it will change, and it will change at any moment. So therefore, just to repeat again, as long as we have these physical and mental aggregates that have come about in dependence on contaminated causes, in other words, from these afflictions, we will continue to experience suffering. And so then that is and that is the meaning of the word suffering in the name of the suffering, the all pervasive suffering of condition. When you think like this, the thought should come that as I am unable to experience lasting or stable happiness, as long as I have these contaminated physical and mental aggregates, these need to be abandoned. These contaminated physical and mental aggregates need to be abandoned because I will never experience lasting, stable happiness whilst I have these contaminated physical and mental aggregates. So therefore, we should come to this wish to abandon this current state. If he meditates in this way and come to understand what the this all-pervasive suffering condition is and how we experience it, we will give rise to this wish to abandon the state, in other words, to abandon these contaminated physical and mental aggregates. Then giving rise to this wish to abandon these contaminated aggregates, we'll think, so what then do we want to attain? So we've spoken about what we want to abandon, so what do we want to attain? So we want to attain a state where we no longer have contaminated aggregates. And what state is that? So it's either the state of liberation of a hearer and solitary realizer. In other words, when a practitioner of the hearer lineage or the solitary realizer lineage attains liberation or becomes a foe destroyer, when they attain that liberation from samsara, then they will be free from these three types of suffering because they no longer have contaminated aggregates. So they will no longer experience the suffering of suffering, the suffering of change, or the all-pervasive suffering of conditioning. They will then only experience happiness, and the happiness that they are experiencing will not be this mere worldly happiness, but lasting, stable happiness. So that comes about when they have attained this, when a practitioner of the hero of solitary realizer lineage attains liberation. Then, if someone is rather of the Mahayana lineage, then they too will attain lasting happiness. They too will abandon these contaminated aggregates. And the point at which a practitioner of the Mahayana achieves that is when they enter the Arya paths. So in other words, when they attain the path of seeing. At that point, then the Mahayanas, or the Bodhisattva, will attain uncontaminated physical and mental aggregates. So when a being becomes an Arya Bodhisattva, not an ordinary Bodhisattva, but an Arya Bodhisattva, their aggregates change, and their physical and mental aggregates become uncontaminated. And so from that moment, they too don't experience the all-pervasive suffering of conditioning. And because they don't experience this all-pervasive suffering of conditioning, they will not experience the suffering of change or the suffering of suffering.
And then you
Hearing now about what it is that one needs to abandon and what one needs to attain, then one may think, so is this possible for me? And if it is possible, then how long is this going to take? So of course it is possible, because any sentient being can train in the path, and especially one with the required basis that we have. And how long it takes, this is actually something that is up to us. It is within our own control. It depends only on ourselves. Depending on how diligently we strive in the cultivation of the practices and the development of mental paths, that is how quickly the result will be attained. So if someone who strives with particularly powerful diligence, they can even attain the state of an Arya Bodhisattva within this very lifetime. For others, or for many, who are not able to strive with such a profound diligence, they will take a further life or two, and some may take a few more lives. However, whatever length this is entirely dependent on how much effort one puts in oneself. So therefore, this duration is only up to us. So now we've heard about what one needs to abandon and what one needs to attain. We've heard about that the duration is up to ourselves. So now we talk about, so how does one achieve such a state? How does one come to abandon one's contaminated aggregates and attain pure aggregates or uncontaminated aggregates? So here we need to cultivate the path. So in other words, we need to generate these mental paths. And we started speaking about this yesterday when we spoke about, in terms of the Bodhisattva ideal, one meditates first on how all sentient beings have been our mothers, how they've all individually shown us tremendous kindness. So all individually meaning all without exception have shown us tremendous kindness in past lives, and thereby giving rise to the wish to repay that kindness, and from this generating minds of love and compassion and progressing until one actually generates the precious mind of bodhicitta. So this is the path that we need to cultivate. These are the minds that we need to cultivate so as to attain this goal of becoming an Arya Bodhisattva, a being who has attained a pure physical aggregate, pure mental aggregate. I've been saying here is something that has been experienced by countless beings from Buddha Shakyamuni and his unbroken lineage up to today. So this is this description on what needs to be abandoned and what needs to be attained and how to do so. This is all to be found in a great number of texts, and these have been written from people's own direct experience. So the kinds of teachers that have composed these texts and we can read about, we haven't had the opportunity to meet such a teacher. However, we do have what they've written and what they've passed on to us in that way. However, one teacher that we can have confidence in, one teacher who we know has trained in this way and given rise to the results, is His Holiness the Dalai Lama. He himself says that he, from based on his own experience, that these practices work, that these practices bring about the results. And he himself has said that he has given rise to the precious mind of bodhicitta through applying the exact same teachings or trainings as presented in the texts. So here we do have a living example that we can follow and aspire to. And furthermore, His Holiness has said that there are foreigners who have practiced in the way that is presented here, and not just the sutra teachings, but the generation and completion stage of tantric teachings as well, and have attained the realizations as mentioned in the texts. So His Holiness has said it. He didn't mention names or say what country these people are from or countries these people are from, but he clearly mentioned that foreigners, non-Tibetans, have practiced in this way, including the tantric stages of generation and completion, and have attained those results. So therefore, independence on what His Holiness has said, we can have confidence that what is presented in the text is reliable and will bring about the required results or the desired results. In other words, we can be confident based on what His Holiness has said about himself and about others, that if we apply the trainings here, we will be able to abandon our contaminated aggregates and attain these uncontaminated aggregates.
Yeah,
풍부 수급 제약에 된다 지구도와 풍부 아주 수급 수급 제약에 된다래 가서는 네 수급 된다라 디오에 두로 된다래 내가 래야 되네 디나로 사야기 칼라 대심류다 철류다 야르기 풍부 될이야 지게 칼라 야보다 마셔봐도 풍부도 약물 맞아 되는 나들리기 위해서 네 수급이야 아니 사야도야 다 잠아라 지셔야다 나 지게 두로로 막고 만든 지금 불어서 자야다 되는 나들이야 된 뒤와 신다 답다 된 참아 수지 마셔야 여반자 니 숨겹 되는 둘로 좀 제파시리 자야다 제가 되는 게 더 나가도 도시는 벤저 두릅 자야다 내가 가래 제외나 나도 도시 십초로 섬다나 그 풍부 그런 거 가지고 풍부 뒤 잡아 두지 중에 풍부 니 숨겹이 된다 찾아 뒤 제팅을 오지 저거라 자기도 하지
그래도
Actually, if we think about the situation in the world, so all people engage in a wide number of activities to earn a living. And so they're earning a living so as to take good care of these contaminated aggregates. Everyone needs to eat so that people work hard so that they can eat nutritious food and buy clothes to protect one from the elements or from insect bites and the like. So everyone engages in this wide number of activities to protect their aggregates. And if we think about it, actually, we do the same. And from when we're born until our death, we engage in so many different things to look after and protect these contaminated aggregates. And moreover, we engage not just in earning a livelihood, but we like to entertain ourselves. So we go out and we do enjoyable things so as to please these aggregates, so the physical aggregates or the mental aggregates, to bring a joy and happiness to these aggregates. So being aware of how all beings really, or how everyone engages in so many activities so as to earn a living and to look after their contaminated aggregates and do a variety of things to entertain ourselves and make our contaminated aggregates happy, then we may have the thought, well, these are aggregates that I need to abandon, and I need to replace them with uncontaminated aggregates. So therefore, I shouldn't be really bothering with these this contaminated physical and mental aggregates that I have, but rather only involved in abandoning them. So this has a mistake. This way of thinking is mistaken. And that's because we do need to actually care for these contaminated aggregates, because they are the best basis possible for abandoning these same contaminated aggregates. Because in dependence on having this basis, these aggregates, we are able to cultivate the path, in other words, cultivate the causes, so as to attain uncontaminated aggregates. And therefore, we need to look after ourselves. We need to look after our physical and mental aggregates so that we can utilize this opportunity. Therefore, what we're talking about here is primarily changing our way of thinking, moving or changing our goal and developing a new objective. And that is what needs to change, developing this new objective, the objective to attain the state of liberation, the state where one has uncontaminated aggregates. That objective needs to change, but one still does need to look after one's current body and mind. So it would definitely be a mistake to think so that to overcome the suffering or suffering or suffering or change, that one just needs to destroy one's aggregates. Now let's talk about how to achieve this the goal that we have, the goal of attaining uncontaminated aggregates. So how do we need to train? So we've heard now about this all-pervasive suffering of conditioning. And this is something that we need to meditate on. We need to investigate this and come to a clear understanding of what it is. And then once we have an understanding of what it is, then the next step is to come to understand its cause. So this all-pervasive suffering of conditioning, where does this come from? And we'll see that is our afflictions. Because due to our afflictions, we create the contaminated karma, which ripens in contaminated aggregates. So our afflictions. Then we need to look more deeply at our afflictions. So this would be maybe the third step. And we look at our afflictions. So amongst these myriad afflicted minds that we have, which is the root of all of those? And then we'll come to see that this is the grasping at the self-grasping, grasping at the I as being truly existent. This is the root of all our afflicted minds. So why is this ignorance of self-grasping, or this grasping at the self as being truly existent, why is this the root of all the afflictions? So because we grasp at the self as being truly existent, we then want to achieve the happiness of the self. We want to protect the self from suffering. Because we see the self as truly existent, we want it to be happy, we want it to be free from suffering. So what this leads to then is the minds of I want and I don't want. So this comes from this grasping at the self as being truly existent. We then want things, we don't want things. And what this means, a mind of I want is the mind of attachment. The mind of I don't want is the mind of aversion or anger. So we have this, to fulfill the needs of this truly, the self that we believe to be truly existent, we grasp at things, I want this. And due to wanting something, we then engage in actions to achieve this and accumulate negative karma. And similarly, due to wanting to protect the self that we see as truly existent, there are things we don't want. So we get annoyed at things, we get angry by situations and the like. And due to these minds, we then engage in activities and we accumulate contaminated karma. So therefore, we need to then come to understand this root of everything here is this ignorance of self-grasping. And when we understand that this ignorance of self-grasping or grasping at the self as being truly existent is the root of all our suffering, we then need to apply antidotes to that. So here we talk about meditating on emptiness, meditating on selflessness of persons and the like. When we do this, we will, and then when we do this, we need to do it like with all meditation topics, repeatedly and over a sustained period. And as we do this, this mind of self-grasping will start to weaken and lessen in its strength. And as it starts to lessen in strength, immediately results will come from this. Because as the self-grasping lessens, its resulting afflictions weaken. And then if we are having, if our mind is less dominant, or if our mind has weaker afflictions present, then we are less likely to act on them, or if we do, we are going to create weaker non-virtuous karma. So immediately a change will come as we start to weaken this grasping at the truly existent self. And the more we meditate on this continuously over a period of time, then this self-grasping mind will weaken and weaken, and as it weakens, proportionally the resulting afflictions weaken, and as they weaken, the resulting negative karma weakens. And this will continue until one attains the state of realizing emptiness directly and achieves the state of liberation or the state of being an Arya Bodhisattva. Then one attains these uncontaminated aggregates. So that then is the path or the process. If you think about this, we can come to an understanding of this quite easily, in that when we look at our minds of attachment and our minds of aversion, and in fact all our afflictions, all of them, they come from this self-grasping mind, this grasping at the self as being truly existent. So if we meditate on this, we'll see that this how this works. So if someone is rude to us, they're verbally assaulting us, then immediately afflictions arise within us. And these afflictions that arise will come from this basis of believing that there is this truly existent self that is being verbally assaulted. And then with this, this arising, we then respond and we create our negative karma. Likewise, if there's someone who potentially may give us something that we desire, then we know that this person has the is likely to give us something. So what happens? The afflictive mind of attachment arises, and this arises because we believe that there's a truly existent self that wants and needs this desirable object. And then we deceive this person, or we act deceptively to this person. We pretend to be their friend, we smile politely, we talk in a gentle way, etc. We maybe say how wonderful it would be if we had this object. And in this way, we're acting under the influence of this mind of attachment, and that mind of attachment has come from this mind of self-grasping. So this is something we should meditate on and come to see. This the self-grasping mind, this grasping of the mind has been truly existent. This is the main fault, the primary fault from which everything else comes. This I is something that we all think about continuously, and we think about it usually in the context of I want and I don't want, and these thoughts that come from this stream of I want and I don't want come up continuously within our minds. I want this, I really don't want that, I hope this happens, I hope that doesn't happen. These are thoughts that we always have, so we have this constant awareness of an I. So what is this I? And this is what we need to look at, this is what we need to investigate. We need to look at what this I is and where it is. How does it appear to us? So we need to look at these thoughts arising to us all the time and try and see how this I appears. Then we need to look at where this I can be found within us, because we have this strong awareness of this I. It appears to us. And now, where does this exist? So we would usually start with our physical form, looking for it there. And we look at our various body parts. It's not our hand, it's not our head, it's not even our vital organs such as our heart. Because this heart isn't the eye. We make use of it, but it's not us. So then we've looked at the physical aggregates. So then we look at the mental aggregates. And so now, so in other words, we look at the mind. So amongst the minds, where is this I? So when I am feeling happy, is that feeling of happiness, is that me? And if you look feeling sad, is that sadness, is that me? So in this way we need to investigate and see this I, if it's, is it amongst my form aggregates, is it amongst my mental aggregates, and if so, where? And we need to look and look continuously until we come to the understanding that actually it can't be found. That I can't point to a particular mind that is me. I cannot find this I anywhere. When we come to this understanding, we then are having an understanding of emptiness, because we cannot find a truly existent self anywhere. And this understanding of emptiness is something that we need to repeatedly cultivate, so that this awareness, this understanding, starts, we become more familiar with it, in other words, starts to become more present and has an impact on us. Having an impact on us means the reflections that come from the self-grasping start to weaken. So therefore, we need to regularly investigate where this I is and come to the conclusion cannot be found. And we need to do this repeatedly so as to develop a familiarity with this way of thinking. And as it starts to become something we're more familiar with or more innate, becomes more natural to us, then it has the impact that our resulting afflictive minds of attachment and anger, this I want, this I don't want, these start to weaken. And therefore, the contaminated karma that we accrue weakens and lessens. So this we need to do repeatedly. In doing so, we'll start to come to understand the nature of reality. And as we're starting to come to understand this nature of reality, then this goal of liberation, this goal of abandoning the contaminated aggregates, this nears, this approaches. So here, this understanding of what we've been just been speaking about now, this is the understanding of emptiness. Or if we meditate on it, we'll come to an understanding, and that understanding is the understanding of emptiness, and eventually will become a realization of emptiness. So this is something that we don't yet have in our continuum. And the only reason we don't have it, an understanding or even a realization of emptiness, is because of a lack of familiarity with this. So as with any object of meditation, if we're wanting to cultivate a new way of thinking, this is something that we need to do repeatedly. So we need to go through these stages of the meditation, as has just been described, in the sequence, one after the other, until we come to this understanding of the I cannot be found. This I is empty of inherent existence. When we come to that understanding, that understanding is an understanding of emptiness. So we've then, in our meditation, come to an understanding of emptiness. Then whatever understanding now has arisen in our mind, we then abide, we rest in that. And we rest in that understanding, and so as to generate familiarity with this understanding. Then, later in the day or the next day, we need to repeat this process. Not be happy, oh, I've done it once, fantastic, and now the job's done. We need to do it again and again and again. And the reason for this repetition, as with all meditations, the reason for this repetition is to strengthen our familiarity, to strengthen our habituation with the understanding, with this, in this case, the understanding of emptiness. So through repeating this meditation again and again, we'll keep coming back to that same understanding of emptiness, and then we'll abide or rest in that understanding of emptiness, and doing this again and again, our mind will become more and more familiar with this realization. So, and through doing this repeatedly, this understanding of emptiness will arise more easily for us, and it will become more stable. It won't be as fleeting. And this shows that the habituation is coming about. We're becoming more familiar with it. And so this is something that we need to keep doing. And as we keep doing it, we will see an impact in our mind in other ways, in that the afflictions will start to weaken. And therefore, our way of reacting, our way of acting, both of these will start to change. An important point to make here is also that when we investigate this I, we come to see that this the self that we grasp as being truly existent, that this cannot be found. That doesn't mean it's non-existent. It doesn't mean that the I is non-existent, rather. So it doesn't mean when we come and we look for this particular I, this I that we're grasping at as being truly existent. So when we can't find that, it doesn't mean that there is the I is non-existent. Rather, the I is a mere imputation. So whilst we investigate and we're looking, not being able to find what we are looking for doesn't mean that the I doesn't exist at all. It is rather a mere imputation.
And this
is the same, of course, with all phenomena. So let's take the illustration of a dog. So a dog has black fur. We also call this not only a dog, but we'll say it's a black dog. And then we investigate the dog. So where is the dog? Is it its black coloured fur? No. We call it a black dog, but it's not its black coloured fur. It's not its legs, it's not any of its body parts, etc. So we do the meditation in the same way, and we come to see that we merely impute dog onto this black dog is merely imputed by mind. And that is the conclusion we would come to. It's merely imputed by mind.
Dungha
Then you do a jibba jaw, Najigin Sibigi, that's some lunali up in the Kanzum, Jian Chasa, Najigin Sibi Samoti, that is it, Jaw do Samoti later, Shadagi, you chase him by Najigin Sidida, then you kill him by the Tamja Della, and the Jisor Dakasan, Hassan Namdasor, Chisna, the signaler, Doba may be Tamchawas, Doba may be Tamchawas, Doba may be Tamchawa, Sikila. Dopa may be Tamchawa, like Doa, Chisa Damchawa, Najin Sibi killing, Dinny killing the Guinea Madora Jet in Yamlin Chihuri, so Chisa Dela Lassa Namda, so Chisa, Tishi, Semja Tamja Duma, Tuma Guda Chava, the Chawa Shore, Jaw, do send us on Injiche, Dele Dam Najin, some of the Dele Chava do Pava, because some of the Topu Chejava, Lassa Namda, so Daddy, you two, the Chesan and Zuki, Pumbuki, Tishi.
Through this meditation, we'll come to understand what the all-pervasive suffering of conditioning is, and we'll see how we are suffering from this. We'll understand that to be free from this suffering. If we manage to attain a state free from this all-pervasive suffering of conditioning, we will also be free of the suffering of suffering and the suffering of change. And how to become free of that is we need to attain uncontaminated aggregates, mental and physical aggregates. And to do that, we need to abandon the cause of having these contaminated aggregates where we experience this all-pervasive suffering of conditioning. And the cause of these contaminated aggregates are afflictions, and in particular the ignorance of the self-grasping mind, this grasping at the self as being truly existent. So that is what we need to abandon. Now so this is what we've spoken to up to now. Having this understanding, we then apply this understanding now to others. And we come to see that all suffering sentient beings are suffering in the same ways as I am, and for the same reason. They too are suffering because they have these contaminated aggregates, and therefore are experiencing the suffering of suffering, the suffering of change, etc. So in the same way that I need to be free from this all-pervasive suffering of conditioning, so that I can be free from suffering, I can be liberated from suffering, so too do all sentient beings. So not only do the sentient beings have the wish to be free of suffering, but the reason that they are suffering, we now know this. We know that they are suffering because they, like us, are suffering under this all-pervasive suffering of conditioning. And they, like us, need to abandon the cause of this suffering so as to attain a liberated state. So now we've come to an understanding of our own situation, and we've applied it to others, and we see how others are suffering in this situation. And where we are different from almost all others is we have this understanding of all-pervasive suffering of conditioning, what it is and how to abandon it. This is something very rare, and very, very few people have this. Understanding this, then, we'll see the pitiful situation that others are in. And seeing that compassion will arise in us, and that compassion will be very powerful. Meditating on this repeatedly, then this powerful compassion will lead to the wish to do something about this, and will take on the responsibility to free all sentient beings from suffering. And this taking on responsibility of freeing all sentient beings from suffering is specifically referring to this suffering that is the all-pervasive suffering of conditioning. In other words, taking on the responsibility to free all suffering sentient beings from the suffering of having contaminated aggregates. Then this mind arises in us, and needs to arise in us in a way that is powerful and stable. And that is what is referred to here in verse 11. This arouse immutably the resolve. So this particular line here, and the Tibetan is the last line of the verse. So here, maybe instead of saying immutably, it's irreversible. So what this means is that this mind of compassion is irreversible. And this is then the special intent, this intention to take on the suffering of others. And that arises in this understanding, this arises in dependence on the understanding of all pervasive suffering and conditioning and how it applies to others, and then taking on the responsibility to free all sentient beings from the three types of suffering. So
we'll stop here for this morning. And today, just to recap briefly, we've looked at the three types of suffering. And we're looking at the three types of suffering. We spoke about the importance that we need to meditate on these three types of suffering so that we come to a clear understanding of what they are and how we experience them and what their causes are. And in particular, we've spoken here about the all pervasive suffering of conditioning. And so this, just again briefly, this is the suffering that we experience due to having these contaminated aggregates, and these contaminated aggregates have come about from the ripening of contaminated karma. That contaminated karma was accumulated by afflicted minds, and those afflictions have as their root the mind, the ignorance of self-grasping. So that ignorance of self-grasping, that is the root. And if we cut that, then this whole process ends. So this root of all our suffering is what we need to investigate. We need to analyze this so as to apply the antidote. We need to look for this. We have this mind, these minds continuously of, I want this, I don't want that. And these minds have continuously in a number of ways. And we know that when we have these minds, we are not happy. Our mind is not at peace. I don't want this. I don't want to have to do this or meet that person, or I really hope this future event happens, etc., or this pleasurable experience doesn't end. We have these minds a lot, and they're not peaceful minds. So we need to look at what is this I that is that all these minds are arising from, and search and look for this. And when we come to see that this I doesn't exist in the way that it appears to us as truly existent, but is merely imputed by mind, we then come to an understanding of emptiness. And this is something we need to meditate on repeatedly, and this is very important to do. We meditate on this repeatedly, becoming more and more familiar with this understanding. And when we have an understanding of this, we then move the object onto the situation of others, and seeing how all ordinary sentient beings are suffering in the same way by this being under the control of the afflictions, accumulating contaminated karma, which ripens in these the result of the contaminated aggregates. So this is something that we need to see that applies to others too. And seeing how others are suffering in this way, and almost all of them don't have a method to free themselves from the situation, to lessen their suffering, to really change their situation, compassion will arise in us. And in that mind too,
we need to cultivate and strengthen. And in this way, we combine at the meditation of emptiness with compassion, and these two support each other. And this then is a particularly important meditation to engage in. So that's what we've looked at today. One line in the text. Then this afternoon, we will continue and we'll start with the presentation on bodhicitta itself. So we won't take questions now. We'll rather, there's a lot here to think about and absorb, and we'll have time for questions this afternoon. So thank you very much.
Give a young man a lion, when he will do it.